This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I like what we did there. Again, once it's under 7, you know, you're gonna call timeout there, or actually under 12, and then really you don't have an option. Because it's third to fourth, you got to throw it into the end zone then. So to me, it's I think we handled it the right way. I do believe that you just re-rack the play, get it in bounce, and call timeout, and that's why we held it and didn't work out the way we wanted it to.
We're back with more Rami Makhlouf and Hub Arkish on 670 The Score.
That's us with you for one more hour. Still no news on Matt Eberflus and his employment status and whether or not that's changed. Still no word on whether or not he will be made available to the media today or when that'll happen, and that is usually something that does happen the day after a game. We are on high alert here on 670 The Score for any breaking news concerning Matt Eberflus and the Bears, and as soon as it breaks, you'll hear it here all day long. Gabe Ramirez will be taking the reins right after Hub and I wrap things up here on the Score Morning Show in for Mully and Haw. But joining us now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois, is NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Brian, you heard Matt Eberflus say there he liked what they did at the end of the game. Did you like what they did at the end of the game there, Brian Baldinger? And good morning to you.
Not at all. Good morning, guys. No, I didn't like it at all. That's a head coaching decision right there. You take the sack, you lose the yards, you're counting down from 36 to 32 seconds right there. The quarterback's getting a play from Thomas Brown. He doesn't like the play. All this time is running down. You got a timeout in your pocket. You're in field goal range, technically. It's at 60 yards, but you'd love to get 10. And give it a better shot for Cairo Santos. That's where you're at in the game, to tie it up, especially after they had the ball first and 10 at the 25 and they were going backwards. I thought it was a horrible decision. I thought you got to call the timeout right there. You have plenty of time. You want to take a shot after the timeout to get the play that you want and get your field goal team ready to come onto the field. Wherever you catch the ball, if it's in bounds, maybe you get it out of bounds, but you're trying to gain 5 to 10 yards to get in field goal range. To do what they did and then throw a Hail Mary to Odunze down the field, where even if he catches it, the game is over. I didn't like any part of that decision.
You know, Brian, I don't think we found anybody yet who likes anything that they did yesterday. But
Hub, I don't want to go, like, I don't want to look in a rearview mirror and play Monday morning quarterback. But in real time, I'm like, what are you doing with the timeout?
Right.
The quarterback clearly was trying to get people set. You could see that he was probably audibling right there to get everybody lined up. And if anybody wants to put that on Caleb, I'm like, that's what the job of the head coach is right there.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. As a matter of fact, I said earlier in the show that I'm sitting there with two of my sons, and I'm yelling at them, at 32 seconds it starts. At 25 seconds, I'm yelling, why aren't they calling an effing timeout? Doesn't make any sense. Yeah. That didn't make any sense to me at all. But maybe you could explain for our listeners how much is going on the sideline at that point. How many people is Eberflus trying to communicate with to get that plan escalated?
I don't think he has to communicate with anybody. I'm sure Thomas Brown is calling the play. I mean, as he was. I mean, he understands the situation too. But he's not going to be upstairs calling the timeout. To me, it's Matt Eberflus. He's looking at this. I don't know what the right tackle Larry Borum was doing on the play. He didn't look like he even understood he was supposed to block Zedarius. He still laid off the ball. It was kind of a weird thing. I know he's filling in over there. But at the same time, I just think he's got to look at the whole situation right there. What are you holding the timeout for? If you catch it in bounds, then you can just put your field goal team out there, I guess. But, I mean, once he saw what Caleb was doing there and trying to get guys lined up and the amount of time that was going off, you don't have any other choice but to call a timeout. Maybe it's 25 seconds or 24, but you've got 8 seconds to make a decision and to filter whatever is being said by anybody. But that's your job. Your job is to manage the game. You've got somebody calling plays on both sides of the ball. The timeout right there was crucial in that situation, I thought.
Talking with Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL insider here on 670 The Score, Rami Makhlouf and Hub Arkish, your hosts. Have you, because this isn't just a one-time thing, Brian, you've been watching this team. Have you seen anything like what we've seen from the Bears this year in terms of game mismanagement at the end of games time and time and time again?
Well, this six-game losing streak started in Washington, and it started in those final two plays where they just gave Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin, they gave them 13 free yards without any challenge at all to get to, the 48-yard line to throw the Hail Mary. I thought that was this whole thing felt like it started there. Like,
mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of things that happened in between, whether it was the field goal blocks, at the end of Green Bay and at the end of Minnesota, that it's one thing to get one field goal block with no time left on, but to get it done again the next week, like you just wondered, like, I'm sure they worked on it. I'm sure they wanted, but to have it happen again, I don't know that I've seen that occur. So there's plenty of plays that every Bear fan or anybody watching these games can go, what in the world is going on?
Just real quick, Hub, I want to tell the folks what's going on here. There was a scheduled, earlier in the week, they sent out a scheduled Zoom press conference for Matt Eberflus this morning at 9 a.m. That never came to fruition. They never sent out the link or anything else. And we just got a notification that media availability will be Monday and it will be conducted virtually and no time has been given for that. So a slight change in what the Bears are doing. Yeah, no scheduled time, but they say that Hallis Hall is closed to the media today, and Monday, November 29th, availability will be conducted virtually. So,
yeah.
Well, you want to read between the lines on that right there?
I would love for you to read between the lines, Brian.
Well, I mean, you just played a Thanksgiving Day game, the whole world watched, and you're just going to shut everybody out and not have any sort of a, I mean, we all are questioning what happened at the end of the game. Like, you got to have answers. You can't just close it out until Monday morning unless there's something else going on here today.
I should clarify. Matt Eberflus is speaking right now as
okay,
we speak.
Right.
And then the rest of the media availability will be
on Monday. You can't stand there last night and say you liked what was going on. You can't.
That's what rubbed me the wrong way. Yep.
Yeah, you can't say, like, oh, everything was fine. No, it wasn't fine. You're a field goal away from going to overtime. Caleb's played an unbelievable second half. Like, he's put the team on his back like you hope he could. And, and for that to end like that and so disappointing. I mean, I'm sitting there at the 25, you know, they're at the 25. I'm thinking, they got a chance to win this game and shock the world and beat the hottest team in the league. And, okay, you have some negative plays. It's just so many things in that game. I mean, come on, Cole. He's a great guy. He's a good player. He's a smart guy. Like, there's a way to run those rub routes in the middle of the field without contacting. Everybody runs those routes. Brady was, they were saying it on TV, Tony Romo, whatever. Like, everybody runs those routes. And there's a coaching point to that. They get called twice in a game and to see those plays come back, it's disappointing.
You know, it is, and it gets frustrating, and especially with somebody like Cole Kmet, who is really, really good about being verbal, really good about communicating with the media. But I'm not quite sure exactly what you're trying to say. So the fact that it happened twice, it's obviously in part on Cole, but are you saying it's also more on the coaches too?
Well, there's coaching points to that play.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're throwing this, I don't care if you're running that pick route in the middle, a rub route. All you're trying to do is you can't initiate the contact like he did. Like, if the defender runs into you and you stop and the defender runs into you, you're probably not going to get that call. But, like, there's a point when you know you're in man coverage and here comes the defender on your receiver and you can't throw your shoulder into him like that. Like, that has to be – those things have to be done on the field in preseason, OTAs. Like, there's a coaching point to all that stuff.
Talking with Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. All right, Baldy, you've been in locker rooms. Have you ever been in a locker room where a coach was fired midseason? And what, if anything, is there to gain from that when a season, for all intents and purposes, is pretty much lost and the playoffs are out of the picture?
I have. I've been on a team that had a coach fired after, I don't know, 10 weeks or so, and we had the defense coordinator become the interim head coach. We didn't get much of a boost or anything from it. We were just a poor fundamental team back then, and that never changed. The wheels came off at some point during every game for the rest of the season. I didn't see that. New Orleans, Darren Rizzi looks like he's doing a good job right there with that team that had lost seven in a row. Now they've won two in a row. So, you know, maybe that will happen. But I don't know. Sometimes you got to have, all right, if you're going to fire the coach, what's your plan? Who are you elevating? You know, they've already fired the offensive coordinator. They elevated Thomas Brown. I mean, is Thomas Brown ready for this and calling plays and managing? Is he going to come down to the field and call plays and manage the game? Like, who's on the – I don't know who I would put on the staff right now to elevate if they did something with Matt, you know, in the next day or two.
That is Brian Baldinger. He is the host of the Best Football Show podcast and brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. And he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Always appreciate the time and the insight. Baldy, have yourself a great Thanksgiving Day weekend.
Likewise, guys. Thanks now.
Take care, Brian. And again, Matt Eberflus is speaking to the media as we speak, and it's apparently business as usual. This would indicate, Hub, that he's going to remain as the Bears head coach, would it not?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure it's business as usual. It's still quite possible they're trying to make decisions, but the fact that Matt spoke first tells you that he has not been fired yet, and I suspect isn't going to be fired in the next couple of days, but it may just be that they're continuing to try and work on that. You have to realize that if they're going to make a change at head coach, not if they're going to make a change at head coach, but when they do it, there's a lot of work that comes into that. They've got to hire two or three new coaches. They've got to make contract agreements. They've got to make sure, you know, that they've checked on everybody who's available. So, you know, to do this right, it does take a little bit of time. And I think we now know you're probably not going to hear about change today. But you know, it's just going to give us more questions for the next couple of days.
And we'll continue to take your calls, your texts at 312-644-6767. Again, Hub, we've talked about it all morning long, and what do you do if you do move on from him? But I don't understand how you can let this guy continue on as the head coach, given what we've seen here the last few weeks, and especially what we saw yesterday. Baldy referred to it as coaching malpractice, and I've heard others refer to it as coaching malpractice, and that's exactly what it is. And I just don't. Now, again, you've said you don't think he's lost a locker room, and you're in the locker room, and I don't think guys have quit on him because they're competitive, but I also don't know how anybody can believe in him as the head coach, given the decisions that he's made in these late game situations throughout this year and essentially costing him football games. I don't understand the thinking at Hallis Hall from Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, George McCaskey, whoever is involved in this decision making to just continue on with Matt Eberflus as the head coach as if nothing is really wrong here.
Well, but Rami, I think in fairness, I don't think that's what they're doing. I think they're trying to sort out what the best answer is, both short and long term. And I think the pivotal thing now, I believe personally, this is just my belief, the decision's already been made. The Bears will have a new head coach when the season starts in 2025. But I think what they're trying to do is make sure that in a rush to try and do something that'll make some fans happy for 20 minutes or for a day, they don't want to do things that could make things worse. And it could make things worse with the next 5 weeks in your development of Caleb Williams, your development of other players, you know, the way that players react with each other. You want to make sure that whatever you do now is going to not make things worse, because you can't really do anything to make things better or save this season. And I think that there is a real chance that keeping Flus for the last 5 weeks is the best answer for not making things worse. It's not an answer for making things better, but it may be the best answer for not making things worse.
Couple quotes coming in from Matt Eberflus. He says he had several conversations with Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren as his typical, quote, debrief after the game. Says he will also be talking to them again later today. But Hub, they're not letting him go to this press conference. Some folks might read into that they're going to talk again later today and go, ooh, maybe they will fire him. Bears fans who want him fired are holding on to a little bit of hope in that last sentence. He wouldn't be in front of microphones and cameras today if they were going to fire him later today or tomorrow. He's staying on as the Bears head coach is what I'm taking out of this.
I personally think it's 50-50 right now.
Really?
Whether or not, no, only 50-50 right now over whether or not he'll still be the head coach on Monday. You know, I really believe that I have uncertainty as to who is running this right now. Is it Kevin Warren or is it George McCaskey? Because it's not Ryan Poles. I mean, he has to get agreement with one of those two in order to do this. Now, he may have a suggestion. He may have decided what he wants, and he may be trying to talk either, you know, Warren or McCaskey into this. But at the end of the day, I think it's still just 50-50 that Matt will still be the head coach on Monday.
He also says it's been a normal operation today at Hallis Hall, said they watched film, and they'll get ready for the 49ers. That's how he's operating right now. It sounds like everything is business as usual, mm-hmm. despite how things ended yesterday in Detroit and have ended the last 3 weeks and four out of the last 6 weeks with us all scratching our heads at decisions that Matt Eberflus and the Bears made at the end of games. So Matt Eberflus talking to the media right now. So he's not fired yet. We don't know if he will be, but it certainly doesn't appear so. It appears he will stay on as the Bears head coach. We'll get you more quotes from the Bears head coach as they come out, as he's speaking with the media, and keep taking more of your calls, your text at 312-644-6767. That's Hub Arkish. I'm Rami Makhlouf. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, and we will talk with Mark Grody, our Bears insider, right after the break, right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670, The Score.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Oh, hi, Mark.
It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Hub Arkish. And as of right now, Matt Eberflus is still the head coach of the Chicago Bears and just addressed the media as so. And one gentleman who is in attendance for that press conference, virtually, that is, he covers the Bears for 670 The Score. It's our very own Mark Grody. Mark, are you as confused as the rest of us by what just went down?
Yeah, I think I am for a lot of reasons. And first off, just so people know exactly what's going on, Matt Eberflus just did a short Zoom with the collective Bears media, and he was asked about if he's spoken to his bosses about his job, and he said, yeah, he spoke to Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles in his usual debrief, as he typically does, but then did slide in there while he was telling us that he will talk to them again later on this afternoon, all while saying everything is normal and systems a go, and he plans to start to work on San Francisco. I used the word coy on Twitter. He was being coy throughout it. He was not necessarily using yes and no answers. This does not sound like a guy who is necessarily confident about his job status going forward. I don't know if he already knows something or if he is kind of like all of us, like he's wondering what his bosses are going to say this afternoon. I'd be surprised, guys, if he doesn't already know what's going on at this moment, but it looks like we're going to have to wait just a little bit longer. And it was odd today that what is not odd, just to be very clear, is that they held the availability virtually. This is what they've been doing for road games, but we did not receive a link until just a little bit after 9 o'clock today, nor did we receive an explanation despite some people reaching out to find out what was going on and why we hadn't received the link. And then the link all of a sudden appeared, and there was Matt Eberflus talking about it and at being asked four or five questions about his job status. So it was interesting.
That's do you think they were trying to like sneak him by you, Grody? That's so weird. What do you mean, Rami?
They'll sneak him by us. Like, so I'm clear on that.
To send out the link at the very last minute, just hoping like, oh, it's Thanksgiving weekend, maybe they won't see it and continue on with their weekend and nobody will have any tough questions for Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, no, I don't think that was going on. I don't know what the rationale is. My gut is that's not it, because we knew, you know, yesterday that they would be speaking at 9 o'clock. I mean, sometimes the link doesn't come until 15 minutes before, but in this case, we just did not receive any sort of assurance via text message about the link. So a lot of us were wondering, and you probably saw the tweets going out from myself and various members of the media that minutes before, we still had not received it. And then boom, the link pops up, and I don't know, maybe they didn't know if Matt Eberflus was going to. I mean, it just creates this air of suspicion about Matt Eberflus's job. Maybe maybe he does know his fate, and it was a question of whether or not Matt Eberflus wanted to speak. Maybe they did the courtesy of saying, hey, if you don't want to talk today, you don't have to talk. And then all of a sudden he appeared and, you know, spoke for less than 10 minutes, answered the questions, and, you know, was his usual affable Matt Eberflus. But, you know, it was interesting. I mean, if nothing else, it created quite a bit of drama and quite a stir amongst the members of the beat.
You know, Mark, I find it interesting only because it's something I've been trying to figure out for the last 4 or 5 weeks now. You said, you know, he met with both Ryan and Kevin Warren, not the McCaskies. There was no mention of George McCaskey?
No mention of the McCaskies. I don't think, Hub, that the McCaskies are, I don't think they're part of his post-game debrief. I mean, that's...
Well, I know they're not.
Football.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Hub, to answer your question, as far as I know, George McCaskey was not involved in that meeting. Now, will he be involved in the meeting later on today? I guess that depends on what that meeting is all about. And again, I don't know. It does feel like that's extra, like to have a meeting with his bosses today, the day after Thanksgiving, when the players are off, and to do something later on this afternoon. I don't think that that's typical, but that's what we're going to find out. And obviously, if there is something going down, then the McCaskies or George McCaskey would be a part of that.
Mark Grody joining us here, covers the Bears for 670 The Score, and he's on the Circus Score hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Grody, what was the vibe in the locker room yesterday after yet another like dumbfounding way to lose a football game that Matt Eberflus discovered? What was it like in that locker room yesterday as you were talking to those guys?
Yeah, it was a little bit different there. There was a resignation sort of to what is going on with the team. There was guys were they were pretty transparent in their disappointment about the end of the game and some of the management that went on to the end of the game and the timeout that wasn't called at the end of the game. I will tell you something that was atypical about yesterday, and that was that Kevin Warren was in the locker room the entire time the media was in there. That is, again, that is not typical of Kevin Warren. He is rarely in the locker. I don't know that I've seen him at home in the locker room once this year. I haven't covered every single road game, but from people that I've spoken to, fellow reporters, they say no, he is typically not in there for these road games. And, you know, it very well could be that, you know, this was another devastating loss, and that he was just providing support for his players. You know, didn't seem like he was doing anything really succinct in there. He was just there, so it could have just been a support system. But tell you what, I have put together about a 2-minute piece here of my dance around the locker room.
Oh, nice.
Yesterday. Yeah, I got a little something for you guys here. I've got five players here, and it is, let me see if I can remember off the top of my head. It is DJ, you'll recognize the voices. I know our Bears fans out there will recognize it, but it's DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Kyler Gordon, Matt Eberflus, and Caleb Williams all in a row. It's 2 minutes. It's pretty tight, but this tells the whole story.
We keep coming back in these games and be having time to actually win the game, and we just a bit.
Are you assuming there's going to be a timeout after that sack? I mean, just your veteran mind?
Yeah, you want it to be, but at the same time, it didn't get called, but just got to go out there and execute.
No, it was tough. I feel like we did enough as players to win the game.
Were you surprised that a timeout wasn't called there in the final 30 seconds?
Once I seen the Detroit Lions walking on the field, I'm like, damn, what they doing?
Yeah.
What's going on? I didn't realize the time it ran out. I'm like, the time was running the whole time. We didn't. And you look up at our, and you realize we got a timeout, and it's like, ah. Yeah.
There's one underlying reason why the end of the game situation
is so dominated. Next question.
No comment.
You know, and then we're there at second and 20. You know, take the sack right there. And, you know, so we're at 36 seconds right there. And our hope was, because it was third going into fourth, that we would re-rack that play. at 18 seconds, throw it in bounds, get it into the field goal range, and then call the timeout. And that's where it was, and that was our decision-making process on that. Again, we were outside the field goal range, you know, so we needed to get a few more yards in there, as close as we can get, and then we're going to call a timeout, and that's why we held that last timeout at the end of the game.
Are you surprised there wasn't a timeout called, though? Are you surprised?
Surprised? We can call a timeout. We cannot. Surprise, I'm not going to say surprise or not. My job is to go out there and make plays. My job is to get everybody lined up. That's it, win games. So didn't do that today. I could have gave Rome maybe a little bit more of a jump ball in that situation. Instead of maybe trying to throw it over the shoulder or anything like that. But, with that situation, that's not what happened.
Grody, that was 2 minutes of, with the exception of Matt Eberflus himself, that was 2 minutes of guys going, yeah, I don't have an explanation either on why we didn't do the obvious thing that we should have done there. Like, without throwing their coach under the bus, that was a bunch of guys going, I'm as confused as the rest of you are by what we just saw out there.
I would say that they kind of threw him under the bus. They led him to the bus. They squatted down and said, "There it is. There's the bus right there." I thought Keenan Allen said, "I don't know if that hit your ears the way it hit mine."
That's what I want to talk to you about. Go ahead, and then I'll tell you what it was.
I'll let you ask it, but we as players did enough. That says everything. I don't think Keenan Allen would mind if I inferred from what he said right there that that's an indictment on the coaching staff.
And my question, Mark, is, and I'm a Keenan Allen fan. There's no question about that in my mind. But what did one player on that team do one thing in the first half of that game to win the game?
The first half was embarrassing and pathetic and any adjective you want to throw out there, Hub. I got nothing to cover the players on what happened. They had one possession in the first quarter. I was joking with my colleague Chris M as we're watching that game unfold at Ford Field from the open air press box that they're the Bears. They might just get two possessions in that first half. The rushing defense was a straight-up joke. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery are both good running backs, but the Bears' defense looked like it couldn't stop anything and didn't really want to stop anything. So, Hub, I mean, that was terrible to watch. Caleb Williams was bad. Everybody, the offensive line was shaky. It just didn't look like they were ready to go in that game. And I get it, man. Look, Lions are really good. It's a noisy building. That crowd was completely juiced. I mean, I was around the stadium early, and obviously tailgaters are rampant throughout the NFL, but I've never seen that area around Ford Field the way it was yesterday, hours before the game, and I've been there, several times, just like you have, Hub. But, the first half was awful, and, I had no excuses whatsoever for how badly they played, and that the only good thing was that they held in the field goals, but that didn't even feel real either at the time.
Well, any other year, I would have thought it was just because Eminem was there, but now that they're 11-1, I guess I get it. So,
so Grody, just to reiterate and clarify, because I was thinking all morning as we were waiting to see what happened with Matt Eberflus and his media availability, I was thinking if he talks to the media, he's staying the Bears head coach. It sounds like you and Hub are both saying that's maybe not set in stone quite yet, even though he talked to you guys today.
I'd say that's fair. It is still speculation at this point, but the presser was short with Matt Eberflus. Matt Eberflus was ambiguous. He was coy in his word choices. He was careful the way he spoke, and I don't know that it is usual for them to be meeting again this afternoon, and Matt Eberflus did not clarify that. And I'm not saying that he owed that to us by any means, but he left it open just enough just enough for all of us to speculate and maybe even welcome us to speculate. And maybe that was the closest that Matt Eberflus was going to be to being transparent. So, you know, I'm starting to get a feeling that there is more to this. And we all know, I mean, by now, I mean, I think it gets mentioned 5 or 6 times a day now on the score. And I'm one of the people that mention this because it is well worth mentioning that this organization has never fired a head coach in season. This would be a great opportunity for Kevin Warren to put his stamp on this organization. And the Bears have lost 6 straight games, guys. This would be a win for the organization if they were to do this. And I'm not discounting the human factor. It sucks. And I hate talking about guys and head coaches losing their jobs, even though that's completely part of what goes down. But this organization needs to tell their fans, they need to tell their players that they are serious about what's going on, that they see what's going on, and that they understand that a new direction has to take place, even as painful as it might be. You know, I'll say this one more thing in this particular answer. One thing I know about Ryan Poles is the emotional side to this business is real for him. I go back to when they had signed Larry Ogunjobi, and then Larry Ogunjobi failed his physical, and Ryan Poles was so down about that and hated the fact that he had to do what he had to do. Like, we all know from Hard Knocks, the Adrian Colbert thing, they were in tears over that.
Yep.
Imagine what this is like for Ryan Poles, what he probably inevitably is going to have to do, whether it's today or tomorrow or at the end of the season. Ryan Poles has to do something that he's never done in his life, and that is to fire a head coach, that he loves and went to bat for last year. He was baffled by the idea that we were questioning whether Matt Eberflus should return this year. So I know that those two are tight. I know that it's genuine when you hear him talking about it. So this is a difficult moment for Ryan Poles, but I think this organization has to do what it has to do, even if it hurts.
Well, stay tuned to 670 The Score all day in case there is any change to Matt Eberflus's employment status. Follow Mark Grody at Grody Sports, and I understand you'll be joining Gabe Ramirez, who takes the airwaves right after we get done here at 10 o'clock. And you can go out and say hello to Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez tomorrow at Rally House in Wrigleyville from 8 to 11 a.m. before Illinois takes on Northwestern across the street at Wrigley Field. And Mark and Gabe will be broadcasting live from Rally House, where you can enter to win a $25 gift card. Grody, appreciate the time and you jumping on last minute with the latest on Matt Eberflus, my man.
And I appreciate you giving me my schedule. I just wrote that all down. Thank you. That's a lot of Gabe Ramirez for me. Thank you.
That's what I'm here for. Mark Grody joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Yep, Gabe Ramirez will be here at 11, or excuse me, at 10. We're staying local and staying on top of the Matt Eberflus story. So you stay tuned right here to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And we'll take more of your thoughts on the phones in the text at 312-644-6767. Rami and Hub back right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Rami Makhlouf and Hub Arkish on 670 The Score.
On a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. If you're just tuning in, Matt Eberflus did meet with the media via Zoom just about 45 minutes ago. Nothing eventful. It's basically business as usual. He did say, though, that he met with Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles after yesterday's game and will do so again later today. And both Hub Arkish, who's alongside me, Rami Makhlouf this morning, and Mark Grody both seem to think that may not be the end of this story and maybe news coming out of his meeting with those two gentlemen later today. So stay tuned to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score all day long, where you can hear the latest news and react with Gabe Ramirez, who's taking over these airwaves coming up at 10. He's joined by Olin Krutz at 11, David Haw at 1. Mark Grody will be on right at 2, or excuse me, let me make sure I got that right. Olin at 11, noon will be Haw, and 1 p.m. will be Mark Grody. Sorry, I was reading that off a text and got a little confused. So those three gentlemen join him, and then Chiefs and Raiders at 2 p.m. right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So Gabe will be in just a few minutes. We want to get in more of your calls at 312-644-6767 before we wrap things up, starting off with Gil, who's on the road and on the score. What's up, Gil?
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good, Gil.
So, you mentioned earlier that the next Bears coach needs to be a person who has head coach experience in the NFL. What do you think about a name of Cliff Kingsbury, considering he had ties with Caleb last season?
You know, I'm really glad. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate the call.
And I'm really glad you asked that question, because I thought it was interesting. I have been hearing from so many Bears fans so much about Cliff Kingsbury, and if they had only hired him instead. Right now in Washington, the Commanders fans want Kingsbury fired. Because of
really?
What's, yeah, that's what's going on in Washington right
that
now.
That turned quick.
After the last, yeah, exactly. Well, that's how it works in this business. And you know, he's a good coach. I'm not criticizing him. But it's like you want this instant answer. You know, you think there's one guy out there, he's going to be the difference. That guy's not out there. That's not the way this works, okay? And there's going to have to be a change. And you know, I got to say this now. I like Matt Eberflus, and I think he's a good football coach. I don't think he's a great football coach, but I think he's a good football coach. And I think he's been blamed for a lot of things that aren't his fault. At the end of the day, you still have to fire him, because you can't lose games the last 3 weeks the way they have and do the same thing each of the last 3 weeks. He's the head coach. He's responsible for it. He's going to have to pay the price, and I feel terrible about that. But at the end of the day, don't make the same mistake that you've made in the last four or five hires again. Take your time. You know, do your evaluation, wait until the season's over when you have the time you have to, and then go out and pay what you have to get the best prospect out there.
And when you say take your time, Hub, to me, that's one of the best reasons to make the move now and during the season in firing Matt Eberflus, because you can really start the process of looking for the next guy. And I know Ben Johnson is busy right now. He's not going to be sitting down for any meetings with you, at least until the playoffs. But I feel like you can start that search more in earnest and more seriously when it's an actual vacancy. And there isn't somebody with a permanent head coaching title sitting in that chair that Matt Eberflus is right now. To me, one of the best reasons to move on from Matt Eberflus midseason is to start the search for the head coach and be one of the first in line, because there are going to be multiple vacancies. Be one of the first in line to go and get the top guys who are going to be on the market and not settle for the fourth, fifth, or sixth best guy that's going to get hired this offseason.
I understand why you say that, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but I can tell you that's just not really the way it works in the NFL. You don't have to fire Flus today to start the search. You can start the search today, even if you're not going to fire him for 5 weeks, and do the search right. And it may or may not be the right. What I'm worried about is that you don't want to. The only way you can make this thing worse right now is to do more damage the next 5 weeks. And I think there's a bigger risk of doing more damage by putting somebody in charge as an interim guy who's not qualified than is at least taking advantage of what you know Flus can do. But again, at the end of the day, you're going to have to make a change. And that's going to happen whether it happens today, tomorrow, Monday, or whether it happens in 5 weeks.
Let's go to Rob, who's in Naperville, listening to The Score. Now he's on The Score. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
You know, I was having a discussion with a couple of my family members the other day, and, you know, the last 10, 12 years, they've gone through a lot of head coaches, a lot of coaching staff changes, and then they bring new staff in, and it seems like the play calling philosophy, it stays the same. It doesn't change. It seems like the organization stuck wanting to do things the way they did in the 80s, run the ball, play defense a certain way. And you look at the teams that are successful and successful for long periods of time, they adapt, they change, they go to things that are newer, that are starting to be a better alternative. And it seems like they keep doing the same thing. And yeah, you bring new coaches in, it's fine. But if it's going to be the same thing as far as the approach to the game plan, it's not going to make a difference who the coach is, because if you're just going to constantly do the same things, it's not going to work. And I know, like, a couple weeks ago in the Arizona game, I think it was, My dad was yelling about how they weren't throwing to the tight end. You look at teams that utilize the tight ends, they're successful. They weren't using them in that game. I don't know what a new coach is going to do if the organization as a whole is not going to get with the modern ways that the games are being called and the ways they're being called now. I mean, it's just it's not working anymore. They need to have a different approach to how they do things as far as the game plan goes. And that last drive was horrendous.
Rob, appreciate the call. I want to try and squeeze in. We won't have time to squeeze in one more. We got to wrap things up here in just a minute. But I will say this, Hub. I agree with him in a lot of what he's saying, in that it does seem often like the Bears are stuck in the past or behind the curve in terms of the evolution of the NFL. But they seem, and Ryan Poles seems to understand one thing, which is you need the quarterback. You need the quarterback. And they went out of their way to go and get that guy in Caleb Williams. Now the question is, will they get all the right pieces around him? Good pieces in terms of the weapons, but the offensive line, the coaching, the other holes that need to be filled in. Will they get the guys and the pieces around him to make sure that they maximize the quarterback that they have and get the most out of him?
Well, and I think what everybody needs to understand is they're pretty close to having that roster. They need at least one, maybe two more edge rushers. They need at least one, maybe two more offensive linemen. And other than that, you know, you keep adding parts to try and get better, but you probably have enough to be able to compete. And since we're apparently leaving right now, something from a texter that I had not thought of until just now, I decided who my next head coach should
be. Who's that?
Ron Rivera.
I don't love that either. I don't love that. I want an offensive-minded guy. I'm not dead set on that, and I don't hate the Ron Rivera idea, but he's not at the top of my list. Our thanks to Clay Harbor, who joined us in the 7 o'clock hour. Brad Biggs joined us in the 8 o'clock hour, and Brian Baldinger in the 9 o'clock hour. If you missed any of that, you can check it out on the Odyssey app or at 670thescore.com. Thanks to all of you for contributing. Great calls, great text, helping out the show this morning. And if you're on hold, stay right there as Gabe Ramirez is coming up right after we wrap things up here. He's joined by Olin Kreutz at 11, David Haw at 1, and then it'll be David Haw at noon, and then Mark Grody at 1. That'll lead right into Chiefs and Raiders right here on 670. The Score Hub, always a pleasure, sir. Tyler, great job on the other side of the glass. And for those guys, I'm Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening. Gabe Ramirez is coming up next right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670. The Score.